actually, Sunday school preacher, she brought it up. I said, yeah, because I'm not looking for a reason not to minister. I mean, I really enjoy the kingdom and the things of the kingdom. But confidence in the Lord, part two. How many know it is a powerful, powerful thing in our life to have confidence in the Lord? Yes. You know, my pastor said one time during preaching, he said, never see your circumstances without God in it. You know, and I sat there and I was listening, you know, and I thought about that and I left and I thought, wow, man. You know, there's been many times in my life I've looked at my circumstances and not even acknowledged that God's in it and how hopeless I felt. Right. You know what I thought? You know, I've always got to look at my life and circumstances that God is involved in it when I let him be. You know, and I was thinking about it this morning, I thought, well, Lord, you know, you talk about confidence in the Lord. You know, we talk about having confidence and there's power in it. And I started thinking about the power that is in confidence in the Lord. You know, there's nowhere that the Bible says, there's nowhere in the Bible where it says have faith in the Word. Did you know that? People have faith in the Word. There's nowhere in the Scripture that it says have faith in the Word. It says have faith in God. We have faith in God based on the Word. Because the Word says God's a good God. We have confidence that God is a good God because the Word, right? You know, had this guy one time, he was quoting Psalms 91, you know, and he said, I quote it every day. I quote Psalms 91 over my life every day. How many knows there's nothing wrong with that?
Amen.
Rehearsing the Word, keeping the Word stirred up in our hearts and minds. But I felt something on the inside, so I began to look and see what the problem was. I mean, it's just good to look inward. He lives in us, amen. Right? He checks us. He quickens us, you know. He confirms to us. He imparts to us. Well, he was quoting Psalms 91. He gives his angels charge of all that stuff, you know. Nothing wrong with it. I live by it. I live by it just like, you know, the church. When we started back to and having the drive-in service and then came back to church, you know, I took Psalms 91 and I said, God, your word says that no plague will come to our dwelling. Amen. Thus, God, Lord, I believe, I have confidence in you based on your word that not one person in this church will get COVID in this church. Not one person in this church has got COVID in this church, from this church, because we assembly. Now, some might disagree that, you know, but, you know, fear, the word causes us to have confidence in the Lord that the Lord will do what his Bible says he will do.
Amen. Come on.
Come on, somebody. And so, anyways, I looked at that guy. The Lord spoke to me and said he's not going to church. I thought, oh, man. Lord want me to bring it up. And I thought, why didn't you let somebody else do that? You know, he was a friend, you know. And so I just asked him, I said, well, where are you going to church? And he's a minister, you know, and that I knew over the years. I said, well, look, man, you know, without having union with God, the scripture is just like Reader's Digest, to you or me or anybody else.
That's right.
I said, without having union with the Lord, and he says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some are, and as much more as you see the day approaching, you know, to promote people to good works. Good work. How many of us coming to church is a good thing?
Yeah.
I mean, I know we went through a struggle back under in 2020 with this pandemic. That come to kill, steal, and destroy, that come to separate and divide, you know, and you know, it was like a Goliath to me. It was like Goliath to the body of Christ. And I've seen people get in fear, You know, somebody told me when I started back church, they said, well, you don't care about the people. I said, don't judge my heart. You don't know. I've been loving people for 25 years ever since I got born again. I said, I would never put people's lives in jeopardy that I love. I love God and I love people. I said, but when it comes down to Jesus, I said, is he bigger than COVID or cancer or anything? Is he bigger than that or not?
Yes.
I said, here, David come up, the body of Christ was scared. Sometimes I have a confidence in the Lord. And no matter what we face from here out, we must have confidence in the Lord that he can roll back the Red Sea.
Yeah.
He's still the same God today.
That's right.
Amen. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. Well, we got to have confidence that that is our bread, our manna from the Lord. Healing is the children's bread, the Bible says.
That's right.
So I told that guy, I said, I'm not, I said, it's really none of my business, man, you know, but I said, we have to be careful that we don't have a union and following the Lord and still quoting scriptures that will get it, that will profit us nothing. I said, because the Bible says that the gospel being preached, not mixed with faith, profits nothing.
Yeah.
I didn't write that Bible. Somebody wrote that Bible, God, the holy men of God, inspired by God, or you can say God. How many knows that God's smarter than we are?
Mm-hmm.
He's wise. He's a wise, wise father. Hallelujah. How many knows he's not shocked by what's going on in mine and your life? He's not looking down here saying, oh man, it's getting bad down there on the earth. Now the Bible says, as the time goes on, that we're going to shine brighter and brighter. You know, if we're not light, we won't be shining, but we are. We are, hallelujah. But we give me that John 10:10. The thief cometh not, but for to kill, to steal, kill, and destroy. I mean, knows that Satan's real.
Yep.
He's real. I'm not one bit scared of him.
No.
And I mean, you know, but he's real. He's real conniving. He's a deceiver. He tries to feed us lies through thoughts or media or your body or your finances. Or the way things look in the natural, he tries to get us to believe. His job is to get us to believe lies. To get us to believe contrary to the scripture so that we won't have faith in God. Just like when David come out there, he come out there and he was just going to feed the ones in battle. And he heard this Goliath. He heard this thing that had the whole body of Christ, that had the whole children of Israel, so to speak, in fear. Do you think that could happen today?
Yes.
That God's people can get in fear over dying, fear over not having enough money, fear over their future, fear over their college for their kids, fear. You know, fear of losing. See, we got to have confidence in the Lord. I'm not off track. I know where I'm going.
Come on.
See, it's not just having confidence when we're inside the church.
Yeah.
You know, we get two or three meals, spiritual meals here a week. We got to feed more than just church. We've got to praise God. We've got to keep our mind stayed on Him and the things of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what makes life good out there when we're out there in this world. Hallelujah. But you know, here comes David. See, I believe David had been out there just going to work, loving God, minding his father's sheep, taking care of business, just like me and you. But I believe that he had his mind on the Lord. And on the will of God while he was doing all that for his father.
Amen.
I believe he did. And I believe then when he come out, praise God. I mean, the Bible says in Proverbs 18:14, it says the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily harm or trouble. It says, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? See, it says somebody that's spiritually strong will be sustained when sickness comes, will be sustained when trouble comes.
Come on.
You know, he said he'll uphold us with the right hand of his righteousness. He said we, in the over there in Psalms, it says he will be our strength in times of trouble. Well, here goes David, and he looks out, and here they are. And he goes and he tells them, let me go in. You know, and I kind of feel like that today. It's time for God's people to rise up and say, no fear here, God. You're our God. You're our deliverer. You're our healer. You're our provider. You're the one that rolled back the Red Sea. You're the one that anointed David with five stones. You anointed him. He had no fear. He said, you come to me with a sword and a shield, these natural things, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God Almighty.
Amen.
See, we have a covenant with the one that created the universe. We have a covenant through Jesus with him, with God. Hallelujah. We have union with God by the Holy Spirit and through the Holy Spirit. But you know what? We got to believe that God loves us. You got to believe that God loves you. There ain't none of us in here perfect. I mean, you know, I was thinking about it the other day. I was thinking, Lord, you know what, praise God, a lot of people don't think that you love them because they still got a mess in their life after they're born again, Lord, but they love you.
That's right. Come on.
And see, then you've got some folk that's never had a mess. They get saved and then they look down on people that has a mess in their life. They got born again, but their life is still not straightened out. Well, how many know that it takes time sometimes to build a house?
That's right. Come on.
But you know what? God don't quit loving us through it. He loved us into this kingdom. But at the same time, we should have boldness in the Lord. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion.
Amen.
Not mean as a snake.
Yeah.
Not high-minded, not got an attitude. It says the righteous are bold as a lion, bold against fear, bold against not going forward, bold against poverty and lack and all of that. And we prove that by our giving.
Yep.
See, the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall he cause men to give to your bosom.
Mm-hmm. Come on. That's right.
See, our way of prosperity, for God to anoint us to prosper in the natural is our giving.
Amen.
It's not five jobs, although I think every man, the Bible says if a man don't work, he don't eat.
Yes,
I don't think if a man in here ain't working, you ought not to be eating. You ain't going to eat my bread. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
Everybody has the same Jesus, same opportunity to get in. And how many knows the scripture says, God told me one time, he said, well, it's because you're a preacher. I said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, man. I said, really? I said, do you really believe that? I said, there's no word in scripture where it says that God's people ain't going to prosper, but the preachers are.
Right.
That's a note.
But we don't go after prosperity and after money and after the things. I'll show you in scripture where they're gods. And they can't see, they can't talk about money and things that men make and all of that. And God's not against any of that if we don't put our trust in it. He don't want me trusting in money. He don't want me trusting in my job. He don't want me trusting in my government check when I start getting one.
Amen.
He wants me to trust in him. He wants you to trust. We're talking about having confidence in the Lord. So we want to realize these things that I was just talking about. David killed Goliath. I mean, he comes out. I believe God anoints that rock. And he slings that rock in the name of. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. He come with confidence in the Lord. He had already been through some battles with a bear, been through some battles with a lion. You're going to go through battles.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go through trials. You just got to make sure you keep your focus and your eyes on the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, told me one time, he said he went off evangelizing, and we'd send him on mission trips and different things. And he told me, he said, You're stuck here pastoring. And I left, you know, and I got thinking about it. And the more that I thought about that, the more oppressed I felt. I thought, he's getting to enjoy evangelism. He's getting to go out and do this and do that. And you know, the Lord let me go for just a few minutes. And then all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, you're stuck in my will.
Amen.
I mean, know, I would rather be stuck in the will of God than be anywhere on the planet.
That's right.
Doing and having fun. Then in the middle of, and it said the freedom come. See what I'm saying? The enemy tried to get me to come out of the will of God. The will of God was for me to pastor. Been here 20 years. I thought I'd run out of sermons in 6 months.
Come on.
20-something years later, I find out that there's really nothing new, but there's inspiration on the things that God is speaking. It's called the anointing.
Amen.
It's not just any word that's good. It's the anointed word. It's what God is speaking to us. I was on the roof and working on the roof back several years ago and doing something up there. And this evangelist called me. Brother, I was wondering if you had an opening. He said, I'm behind on my credit cards. And I said, you can't come. Well, I need some word of preach. I said, not here. I said, you shouldn't have told me all of that.
Yeah.
I said, you shouldn't have told me all of that. I said, my church is not your deliverer.
Amen.
You know, the people at church is not your deliverer. You know, I said, so no, I'm sorry. In my emotions, I really wanted to let him come. I mean, I liked the guy. I mean, I liked him. You know, I had really nothing against him. But you're telling me the wrong stuff. What has God told you got for the church? You know, are you inspired not for to meet your... And I understand the struggle. I'm not talking about... I hate it where it's at. So I'm up there and I hung up, you know, and it wasn't too long. The Lord spoke to me. And the Lord said, I want you to let him come, but I want you to teach him how to prosper.
Amen.
And I said, well, Lord, how do I teach him? He ain't going to come to church. He's in another state. The Lord told me, he said, he's not tithing his ministry.
Man.
He said, he's not tithing his ministry. He said, he preaches about tithing out of the Bible, but he don't understand that the same thing that he preaches for you and for the body will do the same thing for him as it does you or the body.
Amen.
So I thought, oh, Jesus, man, not me, Lord, what is me? Why me? Don't we say that? Why me, Lord? Why do you want me not to cut nobody out? Lord, why do you not want me not to shoot them a bird? They deserve it. See, it's got to do with righteousness.
Yeah.
It's got to do with doing right. It's got to do with loving God and loving Him. You will love people. Yeah. See, this gives us confidence in the Lord, what I'm saying. I brought my tithe today.
Amen.
You can't get me not to tithe.
Yeah.
I'm one blessed individual.
Amen.
I come from nowhere, broke, couldn't make none of my dreams come true, period. Give my heart to Jesus. He began to immediately teach me how to tithe over 20-something years ago. He began to teach me in the Word. When I first heard about tithing, I'm going down the road and I'm stopped listening to secular music. Because there's a tear in my beard. I'm lonely for you, dear. You are on my lonely mind. Look what I'm singing.
Yep.
Or you make my speakers go boom, boom. I don't know what the music is. I don't listen to it. I hear parts of it. And so I cut all of that off. I thought, Lord, I'm not going to live. I'm either going to live for you or I'm going to go back. I'm going to live for you, Lord. I guess I'm struggling, Lord. Well, I'm listening to preaching going down the road. Let me know that's a good thing to do. Turn off some radio and all of that and turn on some good preaching.
Yes.
Good worship music. See, the Bible says the strong, and then when you get that phone call in the middle of the day that is bad news, the strong spirit of a man will keep you.
Amen.
Going down the road, and he says, yeah, he said, you need, he said, the Lord wants you to tithe. And I thought, here's another one of them confounded preachers. I was about 3 months old in the Lord at this time, been 20 something years ago. I said, here's another one of them confounded preachers that only wants money. I can't even listen to the radio without tithe. I go to church and they start talking about it up at Faith Restoration. I thought, but they must want some too. So I whooped out a dollar. I'm a dollar boy. I'm a dollar Baptist boy. Teresa, about the second, third, fourth Sunday, I know where I'm going. Confident to the Lord, I'm still on it.
Come on.
I pulled out a dollar. Teresa, don't even do that. That's embarrassing. So I told her, I said, by God, I better be fortunate if they get my dollar. Then I'm going down the road and hear this guy go. And then you know what? I kept listening to him. It was the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And I didn't even realize it. See, it was the Holy Spirit fixing to put me on, warning me on the path of the prospering that I didn't know nothing about. But and this is God's way. This is God's way. It's not just confessing, I'm blessed going in, blessed going out. We need to do all that. We need to have our heart fixed in all the scriptures and what the scripture says. But how many knows the Bible says faith without works is what? Dead.
Come on.
See, the works causes the faith to do.
Yeah.
It's not works that we're doing. I tithe now because I love Jesus.
Amen.
I love Him. Well, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, when I get home, if that's in the Bible, I'm going to do it.
Amen.
I'm going to do it, Lord, if it's in that Bible. And so I wrote it down on a piece of paper, stuck it in my pocket. And I'm thinking to myself when I'm headed home from work, I thought it's not in there. I know that's not in there. That can't be in that Bible. I was hoping it wasn't in there. You ever read that love your enemies and shut the Bible? I don't like that one. I did it. Read that in there and Jesus said, love your enemies. I shut that Bible and I said, I don't like that. Love my enemy? Jesus can't be serious. But little did I know that when I set out by faith in my heart to do what the Lord said without feeling anything, see, this is where liberty began to come to me. And today I am a free man.
That's right.
Free. I got no enemies. Just one. He's out to kill, slip, and I done whipped him through Jesus.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Yes,
and flesh and blood is not my enemy now. They might be yielding to the devil, but that's not my enemy anymore. Yes. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, so don't get on your neighbor over there that's throwing his squash over in your yard and making you mad. Carry him a basket of okra or something. The Bible says overcome evil with good, not with a gun.
Right.
Not with fists. See, we're talking about having confidence in the Lord. It's not just confidence that all my bills will be paid. See, all of that is like a dessert later.
Mm-hmm.
See, the real thing is the heart of man. The real thing was my heart. The real thing that gets me in true prosperity is my heart towards Jesus and towards doing His will. And you know what? It takes real faith or confidence to do those things. The world can hate. We're not supposed to hate. But anyways, let me get back to the tithe. Some of you need some help. I get home. I go in. I hug my son. I go in. I get my Bible. I turned it over to Malachi 3. And lo and behold, I thought, it is there. It's there. Now, I didn't tithe faithful. That was hard. $20 a week. $22 a week. That was hard because I'd just come out of the world. I'd never heard about tithing until the radio. You know, the churches that I'd been to, they was just give. You know, just give whatever you can and God understands your struggle. And
yeah.
That's not in the Bible.
Amen.
God understands that we struggle without Him. We struggle when we don't do things His way. God understands that His way is right. His way, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He is the door. He's the door. Well, that's Jesus. Well, you can't separate Jesus in the Word. I got scripture for what I just said.
Amen.
In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it goes on and said, and the Word come and dwelt and manifest and dwelt among it. They all, He is the Word. So you can't separate God, Jesus, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, because they all are one.
Amen.
One. One. Somebody say one.
One.
And so I told the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, I said, I'm going to tithe. And then you know what? It was all I could muster to do to get that $20. But then I told the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to quit doing this in myself. I mean, you know, you got to have confidence in the Lord to help you be obedient to the Lord. That's when the struggle ends. You've come to a place to where you're going to be obedient to the Lord with His help. You're in your heart. You are depending on Him to help you love your enemies, to help you overcome evil with good, to help you become what the Bible says you are, a good husband. It's hard for me not to work anymore. I'm like, can't I get lazy?
Right.
You know? When I had the old part surgery and I'm going through and I'm having to stay on preachers enjoying it. Oh, it'll change. I know it'll change. I'm like, what'll change? You'll go back to work and you won't be here. I'm like, how much Scooby-Doo can we watch in one day? I'm about Scooby-Dooed out. And you know what? I went to Travis one day and I said, you know what? This is feeling pretty good, son. He said, what's that, Dad? I said, you got that lazy streak and I'm feeling it. It feels pretty good. I'm not wanting to go to work. I said, lazy feels good. I said, but I know it won't benefit me. Because if a man don't work, he don't eat.
Right.
Yeah. Hallelujah. And so the Word trains you to be diligent. I mean, the Bible says the hand of the diligent will bear rule. Not those that every now and then, Lord, we're going to tithe. Every now and then, Lord, if you want me to give them $5, I can't do it. That's all I've got for my coat. Now, the hand of the diligent will be on top, will be in authority. Why? Because Jesus come, I have come that you might have life, and that it might have it more abundantly.
Yeah.
Not just life. We got the Zoe life of God, but He wants it in abundance. He wants us to be abundant with joy. He wants us to be abundant in confidence in Him. He wants us to have abundance in the natural. He wants you to be able to pay somebody's car off. He wants you to be able to supply ministry. He wants you to be able, He wants this church where the ministers come in and we just bust them with a big chunk. You don't have to go to them and say, well, they're kind of tight around here now. I mean, there ain't many of us. We ain't going to be able to give you a very big offering and all that. That's embarrassing. The minister, now, Ron, they wouldn't do it for nothing. I know I've been knowing him for 20-something years. He don't preach this gospel for money.
That's right.
He did. He done got out of it a long time ago. Me too. I have to rely on the blessing. Y'all didn't pay me for a lot of years. I preached down here for a lot of years. And I just worked for Jesus. That was good enough. Now y'all pay me pretty good, and I just give it to Teresa. Praise God. But you know what? I mean, you know, you go on and you begin to to seek God, and you begin to say, Lord, help me to do your will. And you know what? Today I stand to tell you, bless God, hallelujah, I don't fear the economy falling. I don't even think about who's in government, gas going to $6 a gallon. I don't care. I do. I voted. I voted for righteousness and blah, blah, blah. I did my part. I sowed my seed. And God said that be not deceived. He is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. I'm sowing confidence in the Lord.
Amen.
Well, the TV discourages. Turn it off.
Amen.
Cut it off. I get mad. Cut it off. Cut it off. Get the Bible. Find you some preaching. Get the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. That talks about your future. Look, my future don't look bleak like a lot of the Facebook Christians do that don't go to church. That listened this morning to Fox News and all of them. They felt good till they got up that song. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. CNN. Oh, God. Oh, God. Well, you shouldn't have turned the junk on. You had it right to start with.
Amen.
You're fixing to go slay giants. You're fixing to go get the sick healed. Hallelujah. You're fixing to go cast out devils, and then CNN or Fox or some of them came on in your living room. You let them in. Y'all are quiet, but we learning that.
Amen.
Abundantly, to the full, till it overflows. Look it up, study it. Get it up. It don't just mean abundantly. It says excess. More than enough. Jesus come that we might have life more than a total divine health and healing. Well, you just don't know what my body. Yeah, but get off of that. Get on abundantly. Get on, I'm healed. You get to, and you know, some Christians have a problem with confession. That confession bunch. But I find that Jesus told me, give me that, give me Mark 11. And on the morrow, this is Jesus and the disciples. And on the morrow, Mark 11, 12, and 13, 14. On the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Talking about Jesus. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, this is confession. Out of your mouth. Call it what you want to. Jesus didn't look at that fig tree and said, I think you dry up.
Right.
If he just thought it, he would have said, I thought it. Mm-hmm. The word's true. He said, and Jesus answered it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Somebody say they heard it. How many knows the Bible says, Scripture says, as God is, so are we in this world. Okay, now go on down and give me that to continue this. Verse 20, I guess it is, whatever it is.
Give him a minute.
Okay. Because after this, they heard it. Then he goes on, they go to the synagogue, and this is where he cast out all that. And then it picks back up at verse something. There it is. This, we're not skipping none. They go on into Bethany and all of that, and this is where he throws them out. But they pick up from verse 14. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursedst is withered away. And Jesus answering, said unto them, have faith in God. And then give me the next one. Okay, remember Jesus, verse 24, I believe it is, 23. Remember Jesus, Peter brought it up. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall, verse 22 says, have faith in God. Now he's fixing to show them what he done that they should be doing. He's talking in the same context as the fig tree. Okay, the Lord spoke to me one time and he said, anything that's not bearing good fruit in your life, you need to start speaking to it. Anger, doubt, fear, get it out. I had some things in my life that I couldn't overcome sin after I become a Christian. Some people got this idea when you become a Christian that you don't have sin to deal with. That you don't have issues in your life. That you ought to be all perfect. That you ought to be, and then if you mess up, it's hard for them to see you as a Christian. Well, they're just seeing wrong. So I took the scripture year after year after year and saying, Lord, your word says in Romans that sin shall not have dominion over me. Help me, Lord, to walk in the dominion that you have already done for me, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And it took years sometimes. I don't know why, and it don't make no difference. I finally got free.
Come on.
Right? But I kept saying to that, you don't have dominion over me. Jesus cursed that fig tree because it wasn't bearing fruit, and I'm going to curse this in my life because it ain't bearing fruit. Come on, somebody. He says, for verily I said, whosoever shall, what, think about this mountain? Say to this mountain. What mountain? What mountain's in your life? Is it fear? Is it unbelief? Is it you'll still cuss people out? You get angry on the road because these idiots are driving? Do you know we drive too? I run a stop sign the other day. You can call me an idiot, but I'm not. I just didn't see the stop sign. Now they shooting me birds and everything else over there out of my mistake. But you know, used to I would get out and say, bring it on, get out. You ain't never run a stop sign. You ain't never messed up. You ain't never speeding. Come on, just come on out of the car. But you know what? I went right on and said, Lord, forgive me for running that stop sign.
Amen.
And making them mad, Lord. Why? Because I've done killed that animal. I've done killed that Goliath in my life, and there's nothing going to come back and start bearing fruit again in my life there because I feed it. I mean, if a cat comes to your house, don't feed it. If you ever feed that cat, it won't leave. The more that we feed the things that's not God in our thoughts, hearts, actions, the more that that thing will grow. The stronger that that thing will get. And it'll, and you know what? The Bible, you know, lies bind you. But the truth sets you free.
Amen.
The truth that we use, let me rephrase that. The truth that I apply in my life sets me free. I can know a lot of things and not do it. But Jesus said here, he said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the, and shall not doubt, but shall believe that those things which he, what, says or thinks?
Says.
Jesus said for us to do this. I'm not talking about religious. Religion just confesses it, but they don't have no relationship with the Lord. They don't have a lot of repentance in their own life. They believe that they're justified in everything and live under grace. I believe that grace helps me live in liberty.
Amen.
I believe that grace empowers me to live in liberty. Not to use liberty. Not to say, well, you know, it's everybody else and not me. I mean, if you're supposed to keep, if you're a wife and you know, your husband goes to work and you let the house stay all messed up, all that's not godly. Oh, well, y'all got quiet. That's not godly. The house ought to be clean, and those dishes ought to be washed, those clothes ought to be washed. I mean, there's no reason that 8 hours, you work for 8 hours, ladies.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. We want God in the house. You know, God will anoint you to wash dishes.
Yeah.
God will anoint you to wash clothes. Have your kids up ready for church,
yep.
School. That bus don't have to sit out there. Bah, 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 bah. That's ungodly. Set that clock 15 minutes early. Get them kids up. Cook them a pancake or something. All this is God's in all this. The hand of the diligent will bear rue. The hand of the slothful. I'm talking about confidence. And then you know what? Before you know it, you're washing them dishes. Whoo, glory to God. The Lord's all on me, Lord. I wasn't laying in a bed. Oh. Whoo, let's wash dishes today, ladies.
Amen.
You think that can't happen, I'm telling you. When the anointing comes on you and the grace is there, hallelujah. I mean, the thing that you hate, you love. You just enjoy it. I told Teresa this morning, I said, you look so good. You better leave me alone now, I'm telling you right now. I'm running in her mouth. How about, glory. She said, when the things are going, you get me stirred. I said, I just feel good this morning. I was glad when it was time. I'm sitting there, good. Lord, we got another hour before it's time. Then I seen Cassandra put on there. She put on there, she said, you know you're ready to go to church when you're 1 hour early. Hour early for church. She's beat me here. That's crazy, right? I'm riding with Teresa. She told me this morning, drive your own truck. I said, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. See, we have confidence in the Lord. And I'm telling you, it just makes life grand. Hallelujah. To have confidence in the Lord, then that devil, he comes and he says, oh, Monty don't love you. He don't, I'm just saying. Monty don't love you. She just gets upset. Are you an idiot? Monty loves me. Monty goes to work. He leaves me. He carries me to church. He reads his Bible. He prays. I never hear it. I don't know nothing about y'all. I'm just scenarioing. Hallelujah. See, but you know, when we have confidence in the Lord and we speak to these things,
amen.
You don't fear. I have no fear. That's how you do it. God didn't give me a spirit. I'm not saying I rebuke you, fear, in the name of Jesus. If you didn't do that, do it. But you say what the scripture says. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You just come back and combat that with your words.
Yeah.
I speak all the time, Lord, I'm blessed going in. I don't do it in church because I'm not religious. I tell you I do it, but you don't ever hear me. I don't need 15 people. I don't need Facebook knowing what I'm doing in that manner. I love Jesus. I know Jesus. I talk to Jesus. He talks to me. He ministers to me.
Amen.
He speaks to me. He quickens me. He heals me.
Amen.
He delivers me.
Yes.
He delivers you. But I do it. I say, yep, blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city. Just like your word says, God, blessed is the fruit of my body. Hallelujah. I didn't even know cows was in there, and I read it a million times as a preacher until I got cows. And we were fixing to get cows, started believing for cows. I'm reading Deuteronomy 28, and it says, blessed to be your cattle. And I thought, there's my cows.
Amen.
Didn't even realize they was in it. Why? Because it wasn't quickening to me till then. Till that chapter of my life came. But because I was reading the word and seeking the Lord, he was able to quicken me. Now my cows are blessed. All 10 of them done popped cows in less than a year.
Amen.
These cows. But you know what? After I got close. Teresa told me don't go over. She had stuff to do. I said, you and Monty go 5 minutes over all the time.
He said, we ain't been doing it lately.
So I better obey, right? Praise God. But you know what? I'm going to say this. We're to go home with you. You know, you believe in God for things and you hearing the word Lord speak and give you vision for your life and your marriage and all of that. But don't let the trials that comes up before you get to the vision stop you.
Right.
You have confidence in the Lord that he'll bring what he's put in your heart to pass. And don't lose confidence in the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, after that you've done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. Not before, but after. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. All right, I don't know what we're supposed to do. Thank you.